What's my favorite poem? Well, I couldn't tell you who my favorite poet is. There isn't an evolving constellation of favorite poets that's always anchored somehow by Emily Dickinson, John Keats, and Cesar Vallejo. But I can tell you that Ode to a Nightingale is my favorite poem. The reasons are clear to me, but they're also somehow inexplicable. I'm sure there's some neuropsychologist out there brilliantly mapping the brain for the right equation for love. A sense of truth plus lies plus memory plus sensation. Or maybe it's hope times misunderstanding to the power of sex. I don't think they got it yet. But I do know that I love Ode to a Nightingale. I could talk about the technical expertise of the poem, especially how its sound does more than match its sense. It makes its sense. Just think of that line, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, and you physically have to smile with the effervescence of it. Or how the self-same song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth inscribes itself into Ruth's heart, into the speaker's heart, and into me, the listener, in equal measure. Somehow, by it's the sound and it's the motion of it, which you might call meter, I suppose, but it's the sound and the motion together of the line. Or I could talk about how Ode to a Nightingale feels utterly modern in the way that its lines enact the impossible reach of desire together with the grounding of the world, the way every stanza creates this dynamic put into action between these two poles of the human species. All this reaching and retreating, listening to sounding out, creates an electrifying field of activity that's not about these poles of experience. It's about the movement within the field. Or I could talk about Ode to a Nightingale in the context of his other poems, which are favorites of mine, and how they together display this immense range of humor and mouth-watering appetite and technical expertise and delicious fricative language. For one, there's this extravagantly playful, gloriously sounded poem that he wrote in a letter to his sister. The one that begins, "There was a naughty boy, and a naughty boy was he." That's the poem that makes me want to sit around with this guy his friends called Junkets and swap sounds late into the night. Poets don't swap stories, of course, we swap sounds. Then there's "O Thou Whose Face Hath Felt the Winter's Wind," a poem utterly pungent with equanimity and something that, well, I have to call it wisdom, though that's not a word I like to use, even in this age of ours, especially in this age of ours, the idea of wisdom seems ridiculous, but in the context of this poem, which a voice that Keats puts in the mouth of a bird, I find utterly convincing, and quite frankly, I take great comfort in it. And there's that crazy little ditty of his, "Where's the poet?" It goes, "Where's the poet, Muses Nine? Show him that I may know him." I've always been kind of embarrassed to admit I adore it, but I do. It does work pedantically, and its ideas are certainly more famously expressed in his letter on negative capability, but I find it so endearing here. It was the first poem I ever memorized for my own purposes. There's something about "O Thou" that sounds like it was written out of an immortal sense. There's something about "Where's the Poet" that sounds like it was written by a sweet 24-year-old kid with a hell of an ear. As that line comes articulate and presseth on his ear like mother tongue. Yum. I could talk about all this in the context of Ode to a Nightingale, and it would be hours, days, decades well lived, really. But it doesn't explain why I love the poem, why I hear it in my bones every time I read it or move it through my mind. It just rings my bell. It really does. Listen to it.